We don't have to say, I have this sickness, and the doctor said that it's incurable. Amen. We don't have to stay there. Amen. See, and thank God when we get to heaven. How many know things are going to be good when we get to heaven? Come on, you can shout amen better than that. How many know things are going to be good when we get to heaven? But watch this. How many know things can be good now? Amen. Why? Because Jesus is with you now. And so I am getting there. Amen. And so, you know, 2 weeks ago, I thought, oh my goodness, we've got to teach James before I teach this, because you got to understand that when you go through trials, you can't put your trial in the wrong column. You know, my life is Jack column. Stop. Can't do that. You have to say, no, 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 no. This is an opportunity to God to show himself big. And when he shows himself big, I'm going to be, oh, wow, I'm going to be a better, bigger person. Remember David? God was with me with the lion. God was with me with the bear. See, then he got in this one situation. He didn't run from Goliath. He ran towards Goliath. Where is that coming from? That's coming from an understanding that his challenge is an opportunity. Okay. And then last week, as the Holy Spirit, you know what, led us, we just had to talk about, the craziness and the challenges that all of us can have, you know what I mean? If you looked at two areas that most people fall in, most people, you know, I mean, there are all kind of areas you can fall in. But two of the biggest areas are you don't do what's right in your what God asks you to do with your finances, and you don't do what God asks you to do in your relationships. Amen. Two of the biggest areas. Why is God always talking about finances and relationships? Do you know the answer? Why do you think, Angel? Because he's smart. Amen. Amen. If you need help in playing ping pong, you know what I mean? I'm not going to bring over my bowling ball. Amen. Does that make sense? And those are two areas. And so, you know what? Let's take the time and talk about that area. Now, I will mix in what we talked about the 2 weeks last week and this week in today's teaching, but go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Guys, you got that in the back for me? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1. And guys, in the back, we're going to go to verse 8 at least. But just try to stay up with me. Try to not go in front of me. Now, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, for being absent am bold towards you. What he's saying is, look, when I'm with you, sometimes I'm not in your face. But when I'm writing these letters, I'm bold. But notice he's going to kind of change things up a little bit. Because what this church is doing is they are kind of taking advantage of his graciousness. He's real gracious, and he doesn't want to be in their face. So when he's writing, so when he was there, he was, hey, let's work on this. But as they continued to walk in these, as they continued not to change, are y'all with me? As they continue to not change, you don't want, we are not only a hearer of the word, we are a
doer
of the word. But in this church, they weren't really, they didn't really catch what he was saying. They were held on to what was they were doing was wrong. And so he writes them a letter, and when he writes them a letter, then he's like more in their face. Watch this. And what they did was then they thought, oh, you're not very, you're like a pussycat when you're in, around us, but then when you're far from us, you're like, you know what, you're all bold. And this wasn't Paul. Paul was bold in either case. He was just trying to be gracious to them. Does this make sense? Watch, it'll come out more. But I beg you, verse 2, but I beg you that when I am present, I might not be bold. Why does he want to be bold when he's around them? Why does he not want to be bold when he's around them? Wants them what? No. Okay, remember? Okay. They're doing all kinds of stuff. He's gracious. Says, hey, guys, let's get it together in this area. Then he walks away. And then when he's away from them, he gets reports they're not changing. Okay. Then he writes, and he's more in their face. Okay. Why when he comes back, does he not want to be bold? What? Exactly. What he wants is he wants them, you know what I mean? How many like yelling at your kids when you tell them, hey, clean your room? And then, you know, I'm gonna leave. And you better clean your room. When I get back, I want your room to be clean. How many, when you come back, do you not want to yell at your kids? Why don't you not want to yell at them? Because you want to go in their room and go, ah, this is great. Amen. Is that not right? See, you don't want to yell at, what he's saying is, but I beg you that when I am present, I might not be bold. Why? Because he wants them to have fixed the situation. He wants them to have heeded what he wrote. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Are we together? I beg you that when I am present, I might not be bold with that confidence by which I intended to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Listen, Paul's gonna say, hey guys, let me tell you what. I am a bishop over you. That's what he's gonna say. That's how it is. Why is he going to say that? Here's why. Because God called him in that position. And so he has a willingness to say, this is God's calling. And when you disrespect me, you're disrespecting God. Now, we in our American, nobody tells me what to do. You know? When you probably know this story, when Megan was little, Shayla was telling her something. And Megan went up to Tamara and said, hey, tell Shayla she's not the boss of me. Did he? Okay. You know what? In our American culture, can I be honest? Can we be honest here? In our American culture, you know what? We don't want anybody to be the boss of us. And this is prevalent, but it especially is prevalent in the church. Amen. And Paul is dealing with a bunch of rebellious people in Corinth who don't understand his authority. Listen, I love every single one of you. I love every single one of you. But listen, this is truth. This is the truth. I'm not asking you. It's hard for me to say because I'm going to sound so cocky. But I don't care whether you think that I'm going to be pastor here or whether you don't. Why? Because I understand God's calling to Tamara and I being pastor here. And I can't get my authority doesn't come from you anyway. That is right. Amen. Now, praise God for our trip. But listen, I hope I can say that and not come off. I hope that you've been around long enough to know that Tamara and I understand. The pastors ought to be the best servers in the church. Does that make sense? And I hope we emulate that to you. Thank you, Connor. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'll receive that. But what I'm saying is, and this is really important, because you know what? Because Paul gives us this example to say, you know, to this Corinthians, hey, guys, I'm not asking you what you think here. Amen. Watch it. Let's go back to verse 2. But I beg you that when I am present, I might not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. Listen, if you won't keep on questioning my authority, Paul's like, I'm gonna be in your face. Amen. You know, and Paul's like, hey, got it? Do I have any takers? I hope I don't. I don't want to be, but I will be bold to some. And what is the issue? The issue in this church, in this aspect of what we're reading, is they were questioning Paul's authority to be the bishop over them. By which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. What? You think this is some kind of job for me? Listen, I'm not working it in and out. You know, I'm not, listen, Tamara and I are not property supervisors over here. Amen. We're not in charge of the, you know, oh, Pastor and Tamara, they make the church look nice. They have improved the property. They're good property managers and they do leadership development. Okay, praise God. We do that because we see the property as what it is. It is a resource that we will be held accountable. And we are always doing leadership development because that's what, look on the wall. You know what? We are making disciples. But we're not property managers. We are pastors. Amen. There's a big difference. He's saying, no, you know what? Why? What do you think? You know what? You think we're walking according to the flesh? Guys, try not to get ahead of me. You think we're walking according? We're on two, verse two. You think we're walking according to the flesh? No, we're not. God has called us here. Verse three. For though we walk in the flesh, I mean, we did walk to you. Amen. You know, we did walk to you. We do not war according to the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Okay. Now he's going to go from this, watch this, he's going to go from this area that he has to deal with to now he's going to have a coaching moment with them. Happens all the time. You know what? Interns. You know what? Talking to interns, and I go to the trash, and the trash is not what I want. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, call all the interns over here. What are you doing? I'm going to say, hey, look, this is what I want, but this is why I want it. This is what's important to me. And this is why. You know what? If the trash is nice, the whole church is probably going to be nice. Amen? If we can figure that out, then we can probably figure everything else out. So he's going to go into details, but now he's going to have a coaching moment with them. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. He's going to start talking, and he's talking to them, but how many know he's talking to us?
Oh yeah, come on, amen.
Come on. Yeah. Paul's talking to us, but he's writing, this is God inspired. He's not just talking to the Corinthian church, he's writing to the Corinthian church, but he's also knowing that we're going to read this tonight. And so he's talking to us. Somebody say, God's going to talk to me tonight. Okay. Say this, and he's going to talk to me about my mess. Okay. Any situation that you have, you know what? You have a brain problem. Any situation you have a brain problem. Okay? What I mean by that? You have a thought problem. Okay. Let's go over this. I love to go over this. Your wrong thoughts will create wrong talk, and your whole life will follow your talk. Okay, let's what's the positive? Okay, right thoughts will create right talk, and your right talk will follow, your life will follow that right talk. Amen. Say, Pastor, why do you believe in the power of the tongue? Because there's so much scripture that backs me up. Same thing. I don't care what Christian theologians come against, you know what, the power of the tongue. God believes in that. God, that's how he functions. Amen. So, but when we think wrong, we speak wrong. When we speak wrong, we do wrong. And when we do wrong, we live wrong. When we think right, we speak right. When we speak right, we do right. When we do right, we walk in those manifestations of right choices. Amen. So watch what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, I don't have to, you know what? I mean, how many know, you know, if you try to arm wrestle everybody, you're going to win some people. How many know you're going to lose to some people? I mean, there are some situations in your life that you can just, you know, just your determination, you can be victorious in that situation. But how many know there are some situations in your life, it don't make any difference how determined you are. You're going to walk in defeat. If you're going to figure it out yourself, do it yourself, you know what, go on your own understanding or power. And Paul says, we can't do that. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds.
Strongholds.
Say strongholds are my problem. What are strongholds? Strongholds are wrong thinking over a period of time that become entrenched in how you think. How many of you have come in this church, and since you've been in this church, there's been thinking that you used to think this way, but over the teaching of the word, you think differently now? Raise your hand real high. And how many would say that that change of thinking changed your life? That's what Paul's wrecking. That's what Paul's dealing with. And what he's saying to these people is, guys, you don't. The problem is you don't understand delegated authority. You don't understand God's on top, and he just like in the military, he has. I'm not great with all this stuff. Somebody in the military help me. Who's the highest? General, thank you. You know what? He appoints generals, and then who's under the generals? Then he has colonels, and under the colonels, he's got majors, and after the majors, he's got captains, amen? And there's this divine order, and you know what? It don't make any difference if you like it or I like it or whoever likes it. That's how God's going to have it, and that's how it's going to be. And this Corinthian church, they don't understand it. And he's saying, he's going back to, from this specific thing, now he's going to be general and say, and in a thought and say, guys, this will work in any area in your life. Amen. And you're always going to have a problem because you have a problem with authority. And so you're going to be bucking the system. You're going to get a job and you're going to get fired because you think you're smarter than your boss. And you might be smarter than your boss, but your boss is still your boss. Amen? How many, when you were 16, knew that you were smarter than your parents? Watch this. And how many when you got, I'm just asking, and how many when you turned 38 or 48 or wherever it was, 28, you recognized you weren't smarter than your parents? True story. Angel, I hate to tell you this story. But this is a true story. I thought I was smarter than my parents when I was six. And I was a good boy. But in my head, I really thought, man, God has just blessed me with more brains than my mom and dad. I remember the day that you recognized how smart your parents were. You know, some of you might have been, I'm not pointing a finger, I don't know. Some of you might have been in jail when you recognized that. Amen. Paul saying, hey guys, you're going to have a problem because you don't understand delegated authority. And you know what? You probably have a cousin who thinks this way and a neighbor who thinks this way. There's probably people in the church, listen to me, who've gotten together to all agree that you all are right. And Paul is saying, I don't care if four people, you know, came up with a committee. I don't care if eight people, you know what, gossiped on the internet. I don't care if 38 people, you know what, are all, you know, this guy's coming in telling us. I don't make any difference to me. I understand. Listen, later on he's going to say, I see it when I'm there and I see it when I'm not there. Because this is spiritual, and I see the problem going on here. And your problem is you have a mindset. Ooh, that's a good word. Everybody say mindset. What's a mindset? A mind is where your mind is set. And your set mind, which is wrong, is validated. Watch this. Oh, guys, this is good. It's validated by other people with wrong mindsets. And you all get together. You know what? How many know what happens at the coffee shop? People who don't have anything to do get together and agree that there's nothing to do. And so this mindset, then you have figured out, how many know misery loves company? How many know birds of a feather flock together? And these wrong mindsets find other people with wrong mindsets. And you love to find that wrong mindset because that wrong mindset Your flesh loves it because it causes your flesh to be vindicated. And you can, what James says, you can deceive yourself into thinking that you're right. And Paul has the boldness to say, I ain't asking you. I know I'm right. I know I'm called over you. And I'm not asking you. Amen. I was looking at video for this service that we had, you know, on Sunday, honoring fallen soldiers. You know what? And I like this one scene that I watched, and these three soldiers were revolting against their upline. And this guy, you know, has got a real cut jaw, and you know what? He just tells this guy, stand down. That's what Paul's saying to the Corinthian church. He's saying, stand down. He's saying, I'm not asking you for this authority, because you can't grant me this authority. God can grant it to me. And I'm not asking for you who have found other people who have your same mindset. You know what? It's not going to change what I know to be true. What I'm going to do is I understand my authority, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to use that warfare to pull down your craziness. Amen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use my authority in the spiritual realm to pull down your craziness. And I'm not going to allow you to intimidate me and back me up. Or back me off. Because then I would be coming against God. And that ain't going to happen. Amen. So you want to fight? Rock and roll. Amen. You want to fight? Rock and roll. But let me tell you who you're not fighting. You're not. Listen. Our warfare isn't carnal. But our warfare is mighty. And let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pull. You know what? I've got some people who've got the right mindset. And we are going to come in agreement, and we're going to pull down the wrong mindset. So you figure it out. You want to be on the inside, look, staying in nice, you know what, under the fire, enjoying the blessings of God, or you're going to be outside. And that choice isn't up to me, it's up to you. But I'm telling you what, figure out what you're going to do, because I am backing down. Amen. Amen. And that's the same thing. What's that? Yeah. And that's what he's, but I love his mindset to say, you know what? Here's the problem you have. And I am not going to, here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to allow the majority or the minority. How many know sometimes the minority can just be so loud, you're going to let them intimidate you? And we're not going to let, I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a majority. I don't care if it's just loud minority, but it don't make any difference. We're not going to let them change our calling and what we're called to do. Amen. Amen. Are you guys getting anything out of this? Now, what's the application? Well, the application can be a lot of things. But for many of you, the application needs to be, because, you know, I know what you think might be the application is me up here saying, hey, I'm the pastor. You know, hear me roar. That, I mean, listen, I don't, praise God, we don't have a, praise God, we don't have a church like that. I said, amen, we don't have a church like that. What I think more the application is, you know what I mean? And listen, I'm not saying that can't happen in our church. I'm not saying that can't happen in our church. And I am always recruiting people to have the right mindset. Always. That's why, have you noticed I go over this stuff in this church? Have you noticed I go over delegated authority in this church? Why? Because, you know what? You know how many churches I've seen that were flourishing churches closed down? I could give you a list of awesome churches. And what happened to those churches? You know what happened to those churches? Those churches, oh my goodness, I just looked up at time. Amen. Did you receive something today? What happens in those churches? You know what happens in those churches? Those churches get sold usually to other churches that are understand delegated authority. And they just understand, you know what, we're, you know what, and I'll just wrap it up in two areas. And I talked about this maybe 3 weeks ago. But you know what? I remember when Tamara and I first got in this church and we spent 2 years working on the property, and then the Holy Spirit said, now you get to work on the, you know what, the dysfunction in the leadership. And you know what? But you know what? We spent so much time arguing with each other on things that were so ridiculous. And I just came in there and said, hey, we're not gonna argue about this stuff anymore. Amen? Say, so, well, how did you change that? Well, I'll tell you one thing I did. You know what? Tamara was, you know, how many know Tamara can decorate pretty well? Let me tell you what, if she wasn't called to you guys, she'd be out there making my family a ton of money. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. But you know what? But there was some. Oh well, you know what? Just because I had one lady say, just because she gets free stuff doesn't mean she gets to pick out the color. And how many know some people are nasty? Amen. Yep. Pastor, what did you do? I said, okay. Well, I'm gonna make a decorating committee. Amen. Back then, they were all into the committees. A committee this, committee that. I said, we're going to make a decorating committee. And I said, the decorating committee is going to show up at 9 o'clock, and they're going to not only decorate, but they're going to work. Amen? Because right now, my wife is the only one who's coming and doing any work here. Amen? So I picked some ladies. I said, hey, would you like to be on the decorating committee? They're like, oh, yeah, I want to be on the decorating. You want to be on? We didn't have a lot of people. You want to be on? Yeah, I want to be on the decorating. You want to be on? Yes. Okay, boom. I had four ladies. They're going to be on the decorating committee with my wife. And I said, here's the assignment of the decorating committee. To come and figure stuff out. But it starts at 9 o'clock and it ends at 11 o'clock. And you guys got to work, you know what, for 2 hours. To be part of the decorating committee. Amen? How many know, I had one lady show up one time to the decorating committee, and she showed up and said, Tamara, I got to go. Whatever you want, it's fine with me. But the second application, and we'll close with this. The second application is this. There's authority that you've been given authority over. And things will intimidate you. How many know your teenagers can intimidate you? And you start to walk on eggshells. Ooh, I can't say this, I can't say that. They'll get mad at this, they'll get mad at that. And all of a sudden, you relate. Come on, am I talking the truth to somebody? And you relinquish your authority over to, you know what, your teenagers. Amen? Right. Well, you can't. Thank God, you can't do that. You got to hold the line. And sometimes, how many know? Sometimes that's hard. But you can't. You got to do what Paul does. You got to not listen. Not in a. Listen, Tamara and I, you know what? Would speak the truth, but would always do it in a loving way. You know what? I mean, how many know you don't have to yell at people to say, this is how it's going to be. And just so you know what? I always, oh, this is good. I always had a scripture and a verse. I never told the leadership, we're going to do this because this is what I learned at Life Bible College. Never. I never said, this is what I learned at, you know what, some... You know what? You know, this is a great book on leadership. This is what I learned from you know, CEO leadership. Never. I always said, this is what we have to do because this is a church And we have to run this church biblically. If we run this church biblically, we're going to grow and God is going to bless us. Does that make sense? And so whatever, any area in your life, you know, husbands and wife, come in, get in agreement. Amen. If your wife doesn't want to become a tither, then talk to her. But you can't, we can't just let the person decide who wants to give the least amount of money. Oh, didn't get a bunch of amens on that. That's what happens sometimes with you. Oh, I don't want to upset my wife. I don't want to upset my husband. And he said, we can only give, you know what? We can only give $80. You know what? I make $8,000 a week, but I can only give $80. See, there's all kinds of areas that there's, watch this, there's strongholds, mind. Come on, somebody. When I say mind, you say, that's the thing, okay? There's mind sets that you have that are not accurate according to the Word of God. That's why it's so important to read your Bible every day, because Satan ain't going to tell you those mindsets. He's not going to point it out, but you'll be reading somewhere, and you'll be reading in the mouth, you know, all of a sudden, oh, unbelievable, God is speaking to me. Yeah, it's amazing how when you read your Bible, God will speak to you. And what he'll do is he'll cut in that heart, that junk, that mindset's out, and all of a sudden you'll think differently. And here's what happened. And you'll change your mindset, and all of a sudden that thing which dominated you, dominated your relationship, dominated your finances, dominated your wrong thinking, all of a sudden it changed. Watch this. And you get in line with the Word of God. You get in line with the Word of God. Watch this. You get in line with the Word of God. You line yourself up with the Word of God. And all of a sudden, these blessings start to flow in your life. Paul's saying, that's how we're going to walk. I'm not going to ask you, because that's not where the blessings are. All good gifts come from the Father of lights. So I'm going to line myself up with his blessings. I'm going to line myself with his word. You know what I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe you're going to change your mindsets, because I ain't changing my mindset. Why? Because my mindset isn't wrong. God is the one who gave me authority over you. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we're just going to go for a half an hour longer. Is that okay? Okay, you guys are kind to your pastor. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. May even tonight, maybe some areas in our life that were off what they should be, may they have, may your word have put them on the plumb line. And may we be conscious to how to do it the way you say to do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Tamara, do we have anything good to say tonight to these wonderful people? Huh? Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. Hey, listen, we love you guys so much. We're so proud of you, and what a great night. Hey, couple things real quick. Invite somebody Sunday. Don't come alone. We have an awesome church. We have great three services. Invite somebody. And one more thing, we really want to honor the fathers. Every father, I'm putting you in charge, amen? No fake outs, amen? But you in charge. Every father is going to get a Hope hat if they come Father's Day. We're going to have a hot dog on the stick here. You can purchase all kinds of cool stuff from Hot Dog on the Stick. And it's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have we have so much cool stuff planned. But you come Father's Day. Invite fathers. You all come. Invite your family. Invite other fathers and let them know we're going to honor them that day. We love you. God love you. You are what? Dismissed. Yes, we can. What?